Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'd like to preach another message in the series that we've done from time. We've added messages from time to time to the series, and that is Great Men of Faith. This morning I want to speak about Peter, the apostle we love. Peter, the apostle we love. Matthew chapter 16. Begin reading today in verse 13. Follow in your Bibles as I read. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," that means son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto him, Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great man of faith, Peter. And Lord, we really like to talk about Peter because there's so much about him, Lord, that we can identify with. But I pray that you would take the message today and use it to speak to hearts and challenge us, Lord, to be the kind of people that you want us to be. I pray that the results of our trials and our experiences in walking with you will be that you form us into the person that you want us to be, more and more like Jesus. There might be someone here today, Lord, who's never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Convince them that they are a sinner today, because all of us are. And help them to believe that Jesus died for their sins, was buried and rose again the third day, so that they could have life if they would only believe in him. So work in hearts, accomplish your will. Give enablement to bring the message, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Peter was part of the inner circle around Jesus. Jesus chose 12 apostles who followed him as he ministered and taught. They learned at his feet and helped him in his ministry. But three of these were allowed by Jesus to be close to him, closer than the other nine. These three were Peter, James, and John. Of the three, Peter was the most prominent. In the list of the 12 apostles, and you find those in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in the book of Acts, he is always mentioned first. Also, when you find the list of the prominent three, Peter, James, and John, Peter is always mentioned first. The name Peter is found in the New Testament 156 times. In fact, Peter is the only person in the Bible called Peter. You know, there are several Johns and, you know, different people of different names. Sometimes you'll find several different people of that name, but Peter is the only Peter in the Bible. Now, of all the 12 apostles, I believe Peter is probably the one most loved by believers today and probably in most ages. It is not because he's mentioned so often in the Bible, and it's not because he seems to be the prominent leader of the 12. But I believe it's because we can identify with Peter. There are just some things we like about Peter because it reminds us, he reminds us of ourselves. He sort of mirrors our own life and our own circumstances, or maybe some of the things in Peter's life that we would like to be in ours, we find in his. But Peter is truly a beloved apostle. As we consider Peter, the apostle we love this morning, we're going to look at five things about Peter. First of all, we want to look at Peter as a man of faith, or a faith man. Peter was a faith man. He was a man who believed. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he believed in God, and he wasn't ashamed of that. Now, we have to understand that Peter was just like most people. He was just a man, and a common man in lots of ways. He was the son of a man by the name of Jonas, and he grew up in a town by the name of Bethsaida, which is on the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee. He later moved to Capernaum, we find in the Bible, where he lived at the time of Jesus' Galilean ministry. He was a married man, which is a little problem for Catholics, because Catholics believe he was the first pope, and popes are not supposed to marry, but unconvenient truth. The Bible says he was married. The reason we know he was married was because he had a mother-in-law. Now, I don't know of any other way to get a mother-in-law than to get married. Now, it might be a good reason not to marry, but I shouldn't say that. But Peter was married. And Peter was also a fisherman. He was a fisherman by trade, and he was in the partnership with his brother Andrew. The Bible mentions that Andrew was his brother, and Peter and Andrew were in partnership with two other brothers, and that is James and John. Now, the Bible also tells us that Peter owned his own fishing boat because Jesus took Simon's boat and went out into the sea to teach. But he owned his own fishing boat, and so he was a businessman. His business required hard work and long hours. We're told in the book of Luke that he told Jesus, "We have toiled all night. We have worked all night fishing." He was a determined man, a resourceful man, a tough man. But Peter did not go along with the conventional wisdom of that day, and many times the conventional wisdom of today, that tough men do not have time for or need the Lord. Many people think that tough men shouldn't be Christians. In fact, the TV and other media today says tough men drink beer. Tough men do this and do that. But it's not very often told us that tough men trust Jesus. But tough men do. And Peter was a tough man. But he was a man of faith. He took time to hear John the Baptist. The Bible tells in the book of John. Let's go back there to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 35. Now, the context is talking about John the Baptist, and verse 35 says, "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, the disciples of John the Baptist, looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said this, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And one of those disciples, verse 40 says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is Christ," being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And so his brother Andrew was a follower, a disciple of John, of John the Baptist. But I believe Peter also was a follower, or at least he listened to the message of John the Baptist, because when Andrew came to Peter and said, "Look, we have found the Messiah. We have found the one, the Messiah, the Christ, and we have found him." And so Peter gladly went to see where this one was. So he had heard the message about John the Baptist, that John the Baptist had given. He had heard about the Messiah. He was leaning that way. He was looking for the Messiah. And so when he was found, he followed him. And so Peter was a man who took time to listen to the message of John the Baptist. He also took time to seek Jesus. And when Andrew said, "Let's go," he gladly went with Andrew, and they found the Lord Jesus.
And so Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus, and he listened to Jesus, and he followed Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus saw Andrew and Peter casting a net into the sea. And he says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And the Bible says, "And straightway they left their nets and followed him." Luke's account in Luke chapter 5 tells us that other details. He says Jesus took Simon Peter's boat, and he went out a little ways into the sea, and he anchored there, and he taught as the people stood on the shore, and he was out away from them in the boat, and he taught from that platform of the boat. And then after he had taught, he said to them, "Let's launch out into the deep and cast your nets for a draught or catch a fish." And so Peter said, "Lord, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it." So they went out into the sea and they cast their net into the sea. And the Bible says they took so many fish, the net began to break, and they filled both boats, and the boats began to sink under the load of the fish. And the Bible says at that time they left all and they followed Jesus. Peter was a man of faith. He was a real man, but he was a man of faith. He was not ashamed to be called God's man. He was not ashamed to be called a man of faith. He was not ashamed to be called a Jesus follower. Peter, the tough, industrious, self-reliant man, was willing to follow Jesus. In visiting yesterday, I visited several homes, knocked on several doors, talked to several people. But I remember a couple of those that I talked to said something like this: "Well, I just don't really have time for church. I'm not a church-going type of person." And one lady told me, she said, "Well, I'll read your information," but she said, "you won't see me there." Well, I still think she might come, because we did have a good conversation. And I talked to her about Jesus, and I hope that she will still consider the Lord Jesus Christ. But a lady said, I don't go to church. I won't be there." And a man said, "I'm not the church-going type. I'm not the church-going type." Now, let me tell you, Peter was a tough man, but he was a believer. He was a man of faith. Another thing about Peter is that he was a fearless man. He was fearless in the face of ridicule. Don't you think that his fisherman buddies made fun of Peter? I mean, I just think they did. When Peter left all, he left his boat, he left his net, he left his occupation, and he followed Jesus. Don't you think they made fun of Peter? I mean, people aren't much different today than they were back then, and I'm sure they ridiculed Peter. But he was fearless, and he went on in the face of that ridicule to follow the Lord. There was an account in the Bible in John chapter 6, where it says Jesus was teaching, and he told the people, he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And he was speaking in spiritual language, and he said, "You must eat the bread, and you must eat my flesh and drink my blood." And the Bible goes on to say he was talking in a spiritual way, but he was saying, "You must partake of me, you must receive me." And the Bible says that many of his disciples were offended by those words, and they left him. And the Scripture says many of the disciples who had been following him left him. But Peter didn't do that. Jesus asked the question. He looked at Peter and the other apostles and he says, "Will you also go away?" And then Peter made this wonderful statement. Remember, this is a tough fisherman. And Peter said this: "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's Peter. He was a man of faith, and he was a fearless man, even when people probably made fun of him. And I believe some of those that left Jesus probably told Peter, "How can you follow that guy, the way he's talking? I mean, why don't you just follow us, and let's be done with this, and let's leave Jesus." But Peter wouldn't. He was fearless. He was also fearless in the face of the unexplained. As I was studying the life of Peter, looking through the Scripture to all the things that were said about him, there's no way we can cover it all this morning. But he was fearless in the face of the unexplained. In Matthew chapter 14, it says, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Now, what's the context of that? Well, you remember, the disciples went out in the ships, and they went out to fish, or went out into the sea, and Jesus went up to pray. And later, there was a storm came on the sea. And the Bible says it was the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. Between 3 and 6 in the morning. And they're out there fishing on the sea. And the storm comes up and it's pretty bad. And they look out and they see something walking on the water, and they think it's a spirit and they're afraid. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter said this. He said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, that's fearless. I mean, fearless in the face of the unexplained. He couldn't explain how Jesus could walk on water. He had walked and talked with Jesus. He saw him get tired. He saw him eat like he eats. He saw everything. And he knew that this was a man. But he also was getting the idea that this is God. And he said, "Lord, if it be you walking on the water, let me come to you." And so it says he gets down out of the ship and walks on the water. Now, I know what happened later. He sank. But would any of you stepped out of the boat? I don't think I would. I know Earl McGuffey well enough. I probably wouldn't have. But he did. He was fearless when he couldn't explain what was going on. There was another time he was fearless when in the face of the unexplained. And you remember that was after Jesus had died on the cross and then rose from the grave. And so they went to the tomb, and the Bible says John and Peter ran together, and John outran Peter. And he got to the tomb first, and he stooped down and looked. But Peter finally caught up with John, and he didn't stop at the entrance to the tomb. He ran on into the tomb to see what was there, and he saw those linen clothes lying, and Jesus wasn't there. And the Bible goes on to say they believed. But he was fearless in the face of the unexplained. He could not explain what was happening, but he was going to burst on in there and find out. John then followed him a little bit later. He was also fearless in the face of opposition. In Acts chapter 2, I want you to turn with me there as we read some of his messages. Acts chapter 2, it's the account of Pentecost. You remember the Lord sent the Holy Spirit that day, and it was very evident that God had done something very special. And the Bible says, verse 13, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." I mean, these men are crazy. They're drunk. But verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my word, that these men are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is he that which is spoken by the prophet Joel.'" And let's go on down in the passage. And it says in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now, that takes fearlessness. Standing up against these people who are gathered around and said, "Not only Jesus has died, but you took him, and by your wicked hands you've crucified and slain him." And so he's fearless in the face of opposition. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 is the account after the healing of the man who was lame. You remember he looked up to Peter and John. And he was begging alms, and Peter looked at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have unto I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the lame man rose up and walked, and it caused all kinds of trouble, and people marveled at what happened. And Peter took advantage of that, and he preached to them. And they threw him in jail. And then he got out. And look at chapter 4, verse 9. If we this day be examined by the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He says, you crucified him and you killed him. And this is the stone which is set at naught by you, by the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's still unpopular today, but it's still true today. There is no way to be saved but Jesus. He's the only way to heaven. Very politically incorrect, but it's the truth. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so he was fearless in the face of opposition. Look at chapter 5 of the book of Acts. The apostles are put in jail for preaching. And the angel of the Lord brought them out and said, go and speak in the words of this life. And then look at verse 28 of chapter 5. Verse 28. And he said, did not we straitly command you? They said, did not we straitly command that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. I'm just pointing out to you, this man, Peter, was fearless when he faced opposition. They had just thrown him in jail. He's out now, and he's preaching again and telling them the truth about Jesus Christ. And so he was a fearless man. So he was a faith man, he was a fearless man, but something else about Peter, and that is he was a forthright man. Forthright. The word forthright means coming straight to the point. And if anything characterizes Peter, that's it. I mean, he came straight to the point. He was forthright about Jesus. He didn't mince any words. He knew, as he observed Jesus, he came to find out who Jesus was, and he was not ashamed to tell who he was. In Matthew chapter 16 that we read this morning as we began, it says, Jesus said, who are people saying that I am? And they said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. And some people say you're Jeremiah. And some people say, well, you're just one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up. He was always speaking up. He made the statement. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, thou art Peter. And in the Greek language, there's a play on words there. And it says, thou art Peter. And it's the word Petros. Thou art Peter, which means rock. Sometimes you read in the Bible, in the Gospels, where Peter is called Cephas. Cephas was Aramaic for rock. Peter is the Greek for rock. But he says, thou art Peter, Petros. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the word rock there is Petra. So Peter, you're the Petros, but upon this rock, something different than you, Peter. You know, some say that the church was built on Peter. No, Peter, it wasn't built on Peter. But he says, thou art the Petros, but upon this Petra, and it's even a different gender, a Petra is in the feminine, so it can't refer to Peter. He said, upon this Petra, this rock, I will build my church. What is that rock he's going to build the church on? The truth that Peter gave, and that is that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, upon this, I'm going to build my church. And so Peter was forthright about Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was also forthright about his stand for Jesus. In Matthew 26, Jesus said this, all shall be offended because of me this night. And Peter spoke up and said, now I know he waffled a little bit later, but he said this, he was forthright in his stand for Jesus, and he said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I'll never be offended. But he took his stand for Jesus. In John chapter 18, the Bible says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, this is right after his statement, you know, he's going to back it up now. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here comes the enemy, and they're going to take Jesus away. And Simon Peter takes a sword, He has a sword with him, and he takes the sword, and he strikes the servant of the high priest, and his name was Malchus, and the Bible says he cut off his right ear. He cut off his right ear. He just sliced that ear off. I'd like to have been there that day and see Jesus reach down and pick up the ear and stick it back on that guy. And he was just, you know, surprised at what had happened. But Peter cut off his ear. What was Peter doing? He was forthright in his stand. He was right to the point. He was going to stand up for Jesus right now and take his side. And so he tried to protect the Lord Jesus. But he was also forthright in his preaching. You see that at Pentecost. We've already looked at that. He was forthright in his preaching to the Jews as he told them about who Jesus was and how they had killed him and how he was the promised Messiah. He was right to the point with that. But he was also forthright in his preaching to the Gentiles. You remember the story of Cornelius? Peter was just like any Jew. He was a little hesitant about Gentiles. So God prepared him and gave him this vision of this sheep coming down from heaven with all kinds of animals on it. And he says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Lord, there's some of those animals there. I can't eat. They're unclean." And the Lord says, "What I've called clean, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean or common." And so he says, he learned from that the Lord was saying, he was preparing his heart because there were Gentiles he considered unclean. And so the Lord sent him to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius was being prepared by the Lord, you remember, to receive Peter. And the Lord was setting it all up. And so Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. And when he understood what was going on, he was forthright. He was to the point. And he preached unto them Jesus, and they got saved. Yes, this man was forthright in his preaching. He was also forthright in his defense of the faith. The Bible tells us about the account in Acts chapter 15. Where there were some people starting to teach to the church that Gentiles could not be saved unless they were circumcised. You know, you got to become like a Jew if you're going to, salvation is of the Jews, and you're going to have to become like a Jew if you're going to be saved. You put your faith and trust in Jesus, yes, but you've also got to be circumcised. And so they called a council together, and they went up to Jerusalem to meet with the elders there, and they were there, and Peter stood up, and he defended the faith, and he said, "Look, men, these Gentiles can be saved just like we're saved. And we don't want to burden them down with something that the Lord has relieved us from." And so he said, you know, he stood for the defense of the faith, and he stood up. He was the spokesman that day. And so he was a forthright man. Now, we hear all these things I've been speaking about this morning, and you might say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know if I fit too much with Peter." He was a man of faith. He was a fearless man. He was a forthright man. I commend that in him, but I'm not exactly that way all the time. But let me add another point, and that is Peter was also a fickle man. He was fickle. The word fickle means inconsistent in feeling and purpose, changeful. He changed. In other words, sometimes he compromised. This faith man, fearless man, forthright man, was not a perfect man. And along with all those characteristics, he also was sometimes inconsistent. And sometimes he was fickle. And I think that's why so many of us like Peter. Because we see his commendable characteristics, but we also see that he failed. And we also are people of faith, and we know what we believe, and sometimes we're fearless, and sometimes we're forthright, but sometimes we fail, and we're fickle. And so we like Peter because we find out that he was too. He failed, he was fickle when he was tired. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 26, for lack of time we'll not go to all these passages, but Matthew chapter 26, it tells us about Peter. And he told the Lord, "I'll never deny you. Though all others will, I never will." I'm sorry, that's the wrong passage. First of all, I want to tell you that he was fickle when he was tired. And the account is in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Watch with me and pray." And he came back from praying and he found that Peter and the disciples were asleep. He woke them up and said, can't you watch with me and pray? And so they probably tried, and then he came back and they were asleep again. Then he left and came back the third time, and they were still asleep. And he says, sleep on now. But then a little bit later, he woke them up. What was wrong? Well, Peter was, he was determined. He was fearless. He was forthright. He was a man of faith. But Peter was like all of us. He got tired and he was sleepy. And there came the time when he couldn't do or didn't do what Jesus told him to do because he was just tired. And so he went to sleep. He was also fickle when he was threatened. And this is the account in Matthew 26, beginning verse 56. And that is, he denied the Lord three times after he told the Lord that he would never deny him. And it's interesting, as I studied his accounts, I noticed again something I'd forgotten about. And that is, two of those occasions, it was a maid that said, aren't you one of his followers? And he said, no, I need denied him. But the third time, somebody else said, you know, your speech betrays you. He was from Galilee. This is down in Jerusalem in Judea. And so they had a different accent up in Galilee. It's like northern Ohio, you know, and difference in northern Ohio and Kentucky. Now here, it's a mixture. You know, there's so many of us from Kentucky. Are you from Kentucky? I spoke the other day at Jolly 60s and asked, how many of you from Kentucky? And almost everybody raised their hands. That was over in Middletown. We have different accents, you know, we have different ways of speaking. And says, your speech betrays you, but also the Bible tells us in John chapter 18, verse 26, a detail that we don't hear in the other Gospels. And that is that third person was a relative of Malchus. Who was Malchus? He was the guy who got his right ear cut off by Peter. So he was one of the priest servants, but also one of his relatives was there in the garden too. And he said, wait a minute, you were with them in the garden. And the Bible says it was one of Malchus's relatives. So Peter was threatened and he knew he was in enemy territory and he was afraid and he became fickle. He changed. He was inconsistent. And the one who said, I will never deny him, turned around and denied the Lord three times, even cursed and denied the Lord. Then also, he was fickle when he was timid. Timid means he was afraid. You know, even Peter got afraid. The fearless man got afraid. And the Bible tells us about that in the book of Galatians. We'll not go there for lack of time. But Paul was telling about it, and he said, there came the time when I had to withstand Peter to the face. I rebuked him to the face because he was eating with the Gentiles until the Jews came in. And when the Jews came in the room, Peter became afraid and he stopped eating with the Gentiles. And he went over and just ate with the Jews and let the Gentiles stay over there by themselves. And he led other people astray in doing that. And Paul rebuked Peter for that. And so Peter was fickle when he got afraid. But then I noticed another thing about Peter, and that is he was not only a faith man, a fearless man, a forthright man, and a fickle man, but he was a formed man. He was formed by his experiences. He was formed for the better by his experiences and his trials. You see, that's what makes Peter a great man. And that is, even though he had weaknesses, through his weaknesses, he became strong. Through his weaknesses, he became a better person. And even though he failed, that wasn't his characteristic all through his life. He was changed by his failures. His failures made him humble. In Luke chapter 5, you remember what Peter said. He had a lack of faith. Jesus says, throw out your nets and you'll catch fish. And Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night. I know you don't understand much about fishing, Jesus, but I've been a fisherman all my life, and we have toiled all night, and we've caught nothing. But, Lord, at your word, we'll throw them out. And I don't think he expected anything. And the Bible says the fish just swarm to the nets. And the net broke. And Peter's response was this. You see, he could learn from his failures. And he said this, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." I'm a sinful man. I tell you, when you can respond to your failures that way, that'll make you, like Peter, a formed man. Formed to be what God wants you, and that is humble. He was humbled by his failures. Another failure he had was lack of courage. In Luke chapter 22, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered. You remember he denied the Lord, and then he cursed. And the Bible says in one place in the gospel, the Lord says that Jesus turned and looked on Peter, and Peter looked up from his disgrace, and he saw the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. He was humbled by his failures, his lack of courage. But he responded the right way. He became humble and he wept bitterly. He was also humbled by his lack of love. You remember at the end of John chapter 20, or at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21. Jesus now was the resurrected Lord. The cross is behind him. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him the second time, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Then feed my sheep." And then he said to him the third time, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Lord," he was grieved that he asked him the third time. He said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Then feed my sheep." Now in that discourse, I find that Peter was humbled. Because you see, when he denied the Lord, outwardly he was showing that he didn't love the Lord as much as he should, or he'd never do that. But he was humbled when he saw the Lord and he broke down and wept and cried. It changed him, because later you can see that change. Because when Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" he used a word for love that is the word agape, which means a self-sacrificing type of love that loves regardless. It doesn't love because the object of love deserves it. He loves because it's in his character to love. And he reaches out and does something good for us because he loves us. And he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter couldn't use that word. He couldn't say, "Lord, I have agape love for you." He said, "Lord, I love you." But he used the word phileo, which means brotherly love. So Jesus asked him again, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter said, "Lord, I phileo you. I'm not going to use that word, Lord." And then Lord asked him the third time, and you don't see it in our English, but you see it in the Greek, and it says this. Peter, the third time, he said, "Peter, do you phileo? Do you have that brotherly love for me?" And Peter was grieved when he asked him that, and he said, "Lord, you know I have that kind of love for you." I think that shows a humble Peter. He was formed by his trials. It made him a better person. His trials also made him stronger. He was stronger in his faith. And so in the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you read how he's all the time telling people, you know, you're going to have trials and you're going to have troubles and you're going to have suffering. The sufferings of this present time, he said, they're coming. They're coming to you. And he says, these trials, though, these sufferings have a purpose for you. And he tells them all about that. And for lack of time, we don't have time to look at that. But he also was made stronger in his hope. And that is, he looked for the Lord Jesus. And in 1 Peter, he tells about the coming of the Lord and the appearing of the Lord. And he tells them that he's coming back. And then he was made stronger in his love. So his faith, his hope, and his love. The one who denied the Lord said much about the Savior. The one who, in the face of those maids and that relative of Malchus, said, "I don't know the man. I deny him. I don't know him." And he cursed. But when you read his book, which was written several years later, quite a different man. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. As we bring this message to conclusion, I want you to look at just some of the things he said about the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. whom having not seen ye love. And I'm sure Peter includes himself. And by the way, it's the word agape. He can say it now. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He says, when you think about Jesus, I mean, it brings joy to your heart. This is the one that denied him. Look at verse 18. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is the one who said to the Lord, Lord, be that far from me, when Jesus said, I'm going to die. You remember we read it a while ago in the beginning of the message. And Jesus said, and Peter said, be that far from thee, Lord. That's not going to happen to you. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. I am going to die. I am going to die on the cross of Calvary. And now he's talking about that, and he's bragging about that, and he's glorying in that, that Jesus shed his blood for us. Look at chapter 2, verse 6 of 1 Peter. Wherefore also is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be condemned. Unto you that believe, he is precious. The one he denied, he says, he is precious to me. I love him so much. Look at chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the spirit, in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Verse 22. Who is gone into heaven is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You see, what I'm saying is the trials that Peter went through changed Peter and formed him to be a man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to do anything for him, who bragged on him, wrote about him, preached about him. This is Peter, formed by his trials. Yes, Peter was formed by his failures and his trials because he responded correctly to the Lord Jesus. When we let the Lord change us through our experiences, we become a better person. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. If we respond correctly to His trials, He makes us a better person. But if you respond incorrectly to your trials, and you say like some people say as we visit them, you know, I don't want to go to church. I had a bad experience there. And I don't want to go to church. I don't want to have anything to do with church. You've let your bad experiences form you to turn you into a person like God doesn't want. Because God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. When some people turn against the Lord Jesus because they had a bad experience, maybe they had a loss in their family, or they went through a trial and they say, it must not work, God must not care, then you've let your experiences change you rather than the Lord change you through your experiences. But Peter was a formed man. Formed by the trials that he let the Lord use in his life. And it's very evident this is true when you see the end of his life. Because Peter died a martyr. You remember the one that said, I'll never deny you. And then he denied him three times. That one at the end of his life came up with another opportunity. Will you deny me this time, Peter? Won't you recant? Deny your faith. And Peter said, I will not. I will not deny my faith. And in Fox's Book of Martyr, it records the traditional belief that Peter died a martyr's death. It says that Jerome saith that he was crucified, his head being down and his feet upward, because he requested that. Because he said that he was unworthy to be crucified in the same manner that Jesus was crucified. There's a man formed by his troubles and made to be a staunch follower of Jesus who now will not deny him even if it means death. May God help us to be people like Peter. People of faith, fearless people, forthright people, even though sometimes we're fickle, who are formed by the problems that we face. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for Peter. a great man of faith. We thank you, Lord, that we've had the privilege through the Scripture to know him. We look forward to someday, Lord, that we'll meet him in heaven. And we can sit down and talk to him. And he can tell us even more about all that Jesus did for him. But Lord, help us to know that we also have a life with a lot of experiences. And we should be able to tell people about what Jesus has done for us. Forgive us for sometimes allowing our troubles to form us in the wrong way. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have the faith to believe you so that we can allow you to take our trials and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Bless now as we sing the invitation song, Lord, and that there be someone who has never trusted Jesus as their Savior. May they understand that you died for them so they could live. You rose for them from the grave. The price has been paid. They can be saved if they'll just accept what Jesus did for them. Work in hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.